Darren Copeland. My God, what is he up to now?
This is my favorite Far Side song. But it's, you know.
It's very mellow.
Oh, it is. Well, in his younger days, he used to sport a stash. When he went to school, he carried lunches in a bag for an apple for his teacher, so he knew to get it. He always got mad when the class was dismissed. But when the school was session, he always had a question. You know, I was right, you know, raise his hand. When he's on the bus, he put his my name last, you know. He had to let her pass. It's called Passing Me By, his name of the song.
Oh.
Because
I thought you were
know,
just
no, because
about
no, she was his he drove a Z. He always picked her up promptly at 3 o'clock. I mean, that's what it was. What? That's what the song's about. Big Fuzz, Darren Copeland. Last segment here. We got to talk about. You know, we've been talking a lot of basketball, and that's
we have been,
and that's fine. But you know what? What actually, what people don't understand, what spurred this for us, was an article in the February 8th Sports Illustrated. Which is basically a profile of Nikola Jokic, the Nuggets player who...
The Joker.
Who...
Nuggets.
Nuggets!
That's our new Nuggets. That's going to be our new Nuggets
update.
Nuggets.
I got Nuggets.
So, Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I've got Nuggets. The Jokic, I think, has the two... He feels to me... like what it would have been like had Arvydas Sabonis, who was a Russian who played in obviously the Soviet Union, was not allowed to come over to the United States until his late 30s.
Right, he was
but old. He was always playing for the U.S. nationally, but he still played very well, and he may be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's
in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
But I feel like what Jokic is showing us in terms of his offensive game and also his defense is what Sabonis would have looked like when he was an 18, 19, 20-year-old star playing with the Soviet national team.
To a point.
I think that's what he would look like if he had been able to come over here.
I think the talent level is certainly commensurate, I think. But I think the difference is, you read this article, and if you haven't read it, go check it out. It's an interesting, fascinating article.
We'll put it up on our Facebook page. Can you do that? Can you do that?
Yeah, yeah. What I got out of it was that as good as Jokic is now, he could actually be better right now had he taken his profession seriously, growing up and not been a 400 pound.
Hey, listen, that is the biggest. That's the biggest issue that faces every single athlete in the world today in whatever sport they want to do. If they want to become the best at it, they need to figure out a way to make sure that their exercise regimen and all the things that they need to do, whether it be eating healthier than they would normally do, drinking less or, doing less things than you normally would, getting the amount of sleep that you would normally do. And the earlier you can figure that out, usually the better you're going to be because it means you're more serious about it. There's lots of guys, Ocho Cinco never drinks. So when he goes to bars, he'll go to bars and people will ask him to buy him a drink. It's tonic and lemon. So it looks like it because from a young age, all he knew was how to be great was to eat well and do these things. And that's the way you get it. Jokic started off that way, but he has two older brothers who saw what Darko Milicic did. The guy who was picked before Carmelo Anthony in the draft, who ended up not being very good.
He does have a ring.
Yeah. Trevor Siemian has a ring.
Yes, he does. He did more than Darko Milicic.
Trevor Siemian, the Broncos Super Bowl winning quarterback. But, that what has happened is that his older brothers who saw the mistakes that other, European guys have had over here have really been on him, and they live with him and they go with him everywhere. And they've made him, and they basically told him that you might as well, get used to it because we are not going anywhere.
Well, but he also, there are a couple of things in that story that really fascinated me. One, he did listen to the mentorship from Milicic. I mean, he saw what happened to
Well,
a
his
guy
older
who
brother
not...
lived with him. His older brother lived with him. So it's his older brother was watching on these things too. So he understands.
Sure, but he saw what happened to a player who didn't take it seriously.
And let me tell you something. Darko Milicic, if he had took it seriously.
Could have been great.
Could have been great.
Probably. mean, we don't know.
Chauncey Billups said in an interview one time that the first time he ever saw him work out, just work out, that it was one of the most incredible things he'd ever seen. And then he got him into a scrimmage. And they said, and that was also one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Because, and I'm obviously, you know, I can't, you know, add anything to Chauncey. I'm prefacing or paraphrasing.
Yeah, sure.
But basically he said that he couldn't play.
Sure.
He was soft. I mean, he was soft. He didn't realize that, you know, there's, you know, you have grown men in the United States. I mean, you have grown men obviously playing in, you know, in the European leagues, but you're not getting thrown around by, you know, Shaquille O'Neal. And you're not getting thrown around by, you know, all these huge guys. And that's what he just wasn't ready for.
Right. But here's where I have to give the Nuggets staff huge kudos, because they went out and they saw this little roly-poly of a, you know, 7-foot kid who clearly was not in shape, who clearly was not necessarily doing the things he needed to do to make it as a great player in the NBA. But what they saw was that he understood the game mentally. He was making passes, even though he can't jump and he wasn't running, but he was making the kind of passes you want your big guy to make, and he was seeing the court in a way that a lot of other big guys don't see. So they see this, and instead of just looking at the body, literally the dad body that he had, they said, we can take this guy and teach him how to get in shape, whereas we can't take an in-shape guy necessarily and teach him how to play the kind of basketball they knew Jokic would just
capable of playing. Well, I think that's right. And I also think that, you know, the one thing that you can't teach is vision. So what scouts are always looking for, whatever sport you're in, is people who have the vision to be able to look up and be able to find their teammates open in dangerous positions in order to score whatever you are. So that is what you're looking for. And if you can find that, then that you go get it. The Colorado Rapids had, you know, I talked to my friend Marcelo Balboa, and he was talking about, there was, you know, the guy with the hair. He played for the Rapids for a little bit.
Oh, I know Columbia. Who he is.
You know what I'm talking about? The guy with the yellow hair? I can't think of what his name is.
I know who you're talking about.
So he would play in, like, inside the center circle of the soccer field. He never played defense. He hardly ever ran. He hardly ever got out of that circle. But what he would do is he would get a pass, he would turn, and he would make an awesome pass to someone else and get him open for a shot. And then he might, you know, if someone was close enough to him, he might, you know, stick his foot out. But he wasn't playing defense. But because he had the vision, he was able to play. Now, that's a little bit different in that, you know, he was older, so he wasn't running because he was just old.
Right.
Whereas Jokic wasn't running because he was just...
lazy. He didn't know.
He was drinking 3 liters of Coke a day.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you got to credit his coaches for letting him stay out there and play the point.
But you asked this question before we even went on the air tonight, and I find it interesting, I find it frustrating, because you do have 3 or 4 really young players on this Nuggets team that have the potential, 2 of which are already kind of showing that potential. You have 3 or 4 really young players on this team that have the potential to be the core of a playoff team in the next 10 years, over the next 10 years.
Yes, but there's a big but there. There's a big but and that's there, and that is that Denver is not necessarily a destination for many NBA basketball players.
Right.
There are some that like it, but that's the reason why there has to be a gimmick. If you read this Sports Illustrated article, you'll see that what the Nuggets are really trying to do is they brought in a lot of Eastern European coaches, scouts, and things so that they can go basically build a team in the image of Europe.
Yeah, they have to.
They have to, because if you are an urban star...
you're not coming to Denver.
You just... I think you can. I think you can, but you have to be the right mentality. I think that Carmelo... Carmelo was here for 8 years. He did sign the max deal.
Yeah, but he's
guys
a New
were,
York guy.
Well, he
always
he, well he was a, he was an East Coast guy, but he was fine here. It was he left because of his
wife.
Yes,
his wife was like, I want to be in New York.
Listen,
and I
Marcus
get it.
Marcus Camby, when he was here,
I always liked
loved it here.
Yeah,
loved it here.
I felt bad for Marcus. I felt like he got a bad rap here.
He did get a bad rap here. But there are guys who love it here. Chauncey Billups loves it here, obviously.
But he's from here.
He's from here. But there are other people who have moved here who understand that, you know, that the lack of multicultural flavor that Denver, that maybe a New York or a Boston or a Chicago or an LA or whatever they have, that Denver does not have as much of.
Well,
but there are other factors that are here.
There are.
Because it gets cold in New York City, man. It gets colder in Chicago.
Right.
I mean, it gets cold in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but they you know, they want to go to those big metropolitan areas. Although now everyone wants to go to, you know, they want to go to Houston or Miami or someplace where it's
warm.
Hey,
let's not go to Miami.
I would not want to. I would not want to live in Miami. But that's just me.
Dude,
I mean,
the only problem with Miami is we went there last summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot.
Yeah, like, see, I don't do heat.
In the water, hot. Like yeah. We went into the water, 80 degrees in the water. You know what? No.
Yeah. No. No. No.
No. No. No. No. I want my oceans to be 72, not 84.
The problem is you just had this big Boogie Cousins trade for Buddy Hield. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're looking. There's some other trade rumors that are coming across the ticker on ESPN right now. And none of those are ever going to involve the Nuggets if there's a big name involved, because one, it's going to be a rental player at best for the Nuggets, which financially can't afford that anyway. And it's not going to do your team
trade,
any good.
There's real trade talk around Jimmy Butler, man. I'm just telling you.
And who are we going to give up for Butler? Fareed?
You would probably give Fareed, and you would give up either Chandler or Gallinari would be your two, and maybe a first round.
Or that's a lot for Jimmy Butler, man.
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're freeing up the problem that you have at the shooting forward position with one guy, and you're also doing a lot of other stuff. But this is something we'll just have to talk about later. We'll just have to agree to disagree and to know one. I hate that term. I'm sorry. We have to
We're not even disagreeing.
I know, but it's time to get out of here. So thank you for everyone, and we will talk to you mañana.
10 o'clock. Be here.
Mountain time.
It's the Darren Copeland Experience. Weeknights, 8 to 10.